Wow, good afternoon, everybody. It's exciting to be together today, isn't it? Yeah. Hope you're all doing well. Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate you back there, man. Hope you're all doing well. Today is definitely a special day in the Novak household. Today is Bradley's 6th birthday. And I wish that him and Chelsea and Tyler were here together to celebrate that today. Tyler definitely is not feeling well today. He got me up at 2 in the morning feeling sick, and so Chelsea stayed home with both of them. Bradley's having an awesome day, though, so out of the two of them, I guess I would have picked Tyler to be sick today. Obviously, I would have picked neither, but we're having a fun weekend for Bradley's birthday after church today. We'll get to continue having fun together, but I'm having fun here. This is always awesome to come worship God together as this campus region. I'm super excited for church to be 11 o'clock starting in 2 weeks, to be able to come worship together in the morning when, you know, we have good energy. I think traffic will be better. For those that drive, I think parking will be better. And I think for those of us that come up here to speak, it'll be a little bit easier to come up and say good morning, because I still want to say that every time. And I'd be like, no, it's good afternoon. Yeah. But I'll get to go back to just good morning on Sunday morning. So that's kind of the main reason we're doing this. So just to be transparent here. No, but I'm excited to be preaching the Word of God for us all today. You excited to get in the Bible a little bit? So let's do that. It's our last Sunday on the book of Mark. Isn't that crazy? I don't know how it's the end of April, the end of another school year. It just happened. But we started Mark the Sunday that we planted this campus region back in September. And I believe we've had some amazing lessons looking at the life and ministry of Jesus. Yes. And last weekend was especially important. I know Friday night was a powerful time, led by the Coronados, going through Mark's account of the Last Supper and Jesus being arrested, going through his trials, and ultimately being crucified for our sins. And then last Sunday, we all got to join our local home regions, which I always think is special when we get to do that. We got to join our local home regions and get inspired by Jesus not staying dead, but rising from the grave. Amen? Amen? So that we too can live a new life. And so you can turn to Mark chapter 16, and we'll be picking up after the resurrection and closing out this incredible gospel. And so we'll be reading verses 14 to 20. And just for context here, obviously Jesus had just risen from the dead, and he appeared to some of the disciples on a few different occasions, who obviously went back and told the rest of the disciples and the apostles that they had seen the risen Jesus. But the disciples that hadn't seen him yet were having a hard time believing that. Really, they weren't believing that. And we could kind of understand that a little bit, right? Yeah. It'd be hard to believe someone rose from the dead, even though Jesus said he was going to. And so now what we're going to see is Jesus about to go ahead and appear to just the rest of them, appear to a bunch of them, and to set things straight, to help them with their faith, but then to send them out, and then to ascend back to heaven. And that's what we'll read here in Mark 16, verse 14 to 20. I guess this is updated. It's all good. So Mark 16, verse 14 to 20. It says, later, Jesus appeared to the 11. You're going to have to actually go in your Bible because it's not up here. So I guess most of you did that. So it's all good. So Mark 16, verse 14 to 20. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Wow, this is an inspiring end to the book of Mark, isn't it? You know, the way that I read this is that, okay, this is the end of the book, but it is certainly not the end. Right? There's some movies or some books that end and you feel like you have closure, right? You're like, okay, it's done. We don't need a sequel to this. There's others that it comes to an end and you know there's got to be more. There's going to be more. And that's how Jesus's time on earth ends. We come to the end of the book of Mark and it's the end, but it's certainly not the end. There's a whole lot more that happens. In Mark chapter 1, we saw Jesus start his ministry. Now, if you can remember all the way back there to Mark chapter 1, but we saw Jesus begin his kingdom on earth, to begin his ministry on earth. And he called men and women to follow him. And then he spent 3 years with them. He spent 3 years helping them grow spiritually, training them, making disciples, serving the poor, healing needs, teaching how to live, preaching the word, teaching about God. Spent 3 years together doing all these things and ultimately spent 3 years together changing people's lives and changing the world. The world has never been the same since Jesus was here and started his ministry. And so now in Mark chapter 16, after his death and his resurrection are complete, Jesus is passing the torch of his ministry to his disciples. That's what's going on here. Is he's lived these 3 years, he's walked with them, he's taught them, and now he's handing it over to them. He's transferring to them his heart for the world, his drive to change lives, and his determination to bring people to God. Right? And along with all of that, he's also transferring to them his compassion to serve, to heal, and to meet needs in people's lives. And what's amazing is as Jesus hands the torch to them, as he's transferring all this to them, he doesn't send them alone, but he sends them with his Spirit. Right? He gives his Spirit to his disciples. And what's interesting is this also mentions some miraculous gifts and even some miraculous protection that God gave the early church to help them get started and to really help prove their message was from God. Right? Why should people believe them? Well, look at the kind of stuff they were able to do. This definitely helped confirm the message that they were preaching. And what's cool is we actually see every one of these things take place, even the being bit by a snake, in the book of Acts. And so we see all of these things happen, except for the drinking deadly poison, although we could safely assume amongst all the persecution they went through that that happened to somebody at some point. And God must have helped to protect them from that. Right? And so Jesus is transferring his ministry to them, but he doesn't leave them alone. He gives them his Spirit. And so here in this last one verse here, verse 20, but along with in the book of Acts and in the rest of the New Testament, we really get to see the disciples go in the Spirit, continue Jesus's ministry, and turn the world upside down. And so I believe as Jesus held the torch to his ministry then on that day, so Jesus holds it to us today. And so the title for our sermon today is Take the Torch. Jesus lived his life, and now he's handing the torch of his ministry to us, to his church. And today my hope is that we end Mark the way that the first disciples did. That we end the book of Mark being filled with the Spirit ourselves and fulfilling Jesus' ministry in our world today. Amen? And that's the question for you today is, will you take the torch? Right? Jesus is holding it out to you. You've studied the book of Mark. You know who he is. You know he died. You know he rose. And now he's handing his torch to you and he's asking, will you take it? Will you take the torch and run with it? Will we as his ministry take the torch of Jesus' ministry? Right? Jesus' time in his body on earth was over. And now the church is to be his body on earth. We are his body. His plan after conquering the cross was always to hand his ministry over to his disciples. Right? That was the plan from day one. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Right from the beginning, he was making it clear, I'm going to call you, and I'm going to help you become the one doing this. In Mark chapter 3, it says, he called those he wanted, that they might be with him and he might send them out. This should remind us of the Practicing the Way series that we did a few months ago. Right? We started the year with that, this idea of practicing the way of Jesus. Amen. And the way of Jesus is his plan for us to be with him, to become like him, and then to do what he did. Come on. That was always Jesus's plan. And that's his plan for us today as well, that we would spend time with him, that we would become like him, and then we would be his people in this world. Be his body, do what he did. You know, another scripture that shows that this was always Jesus's plan to hand his ministry over to us is in John chapter 14. This is always one of the most inspiring passages to me that built my faith. So are you guys with me this morning? Yeah. Are we good? All right, go over to John chapter 14 and we'll read verse 11 to 17. John 14, 11 to 17. This is in the middle of just an incredible few chapters of scripture here towards the end of Jesus' time on earth. In verse 11 to 17, Jesus really builds up their faith and inspiration of what he would do through them after he left. And so in verse 11, Jesus says to the disciples, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." You know, this is such an inspiring passage for many reasons. Right, but Jesus obviously made a huge impact while he was here, didn't he? He made such a big difference. He did amazing things. But even though he's not here anymore, it doesn't mean that he's finished. Jesus is still moving, still working today. Except now, he's working from heaven. Right, he's not working from earth, he's working from heaven. And he's working from heaven through his Spirit. By his church, right? We are now filled with his Spirit so that Jesus from heaven can work even more powerfully than while he was on earth. Isn't that amazing? Yes. In some ways, it's hard to believe, but we got to believe Jesus that somehow because we have the Spirit, we could do even greater things than he did while he was here, right? Jesus is ready to work with and through us in a sacred partnership. His Spirit is in us and wants to work with us to do amazing things in this world. All along, his plan was to ascend back to the Father and then to send his Spirit to enable us to do even greater things. Amen. Jesus walked so we could run. Amen? Right? Jesus did what he did so that we could turn around, follow his example, not do less, but all be filled by his Spirit to do even more, to do even greater things, right? Jesus was filled with the Spirit, and that's why I said here, the Spirit is with you, because the Spirit was in him with them. But after he leaves, now the Spirit could be in 40 different people in this ministry, right? Hundreds of different people in this city, thousands of different people. Even more can happen today. Jesus walked so we could run. And so we should run by faith and do incredible things for God. The truth is that often the only thing holding us back is ourselves. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's what we see Jesus dealing with here in Mark chapter 16. First, the disciples had to overcome their own lack of faith and stubbornness. Right? Jesus shows up in the room and they're probably excited to see him, shocked even. And the first thing he does is it says he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to to believe. Or the other translation says their hardness of heart. Right? A rebuke is a sharp correction. Right? It's stern. It's kind of this idea of knock it off. Enough is enough. And obviously this was done in love. Jesus obviously loves them. He just died for them, right? And he obviously believes in them. He's not belittling them. He believes in them because he doesn't waste any time getting to sending them out and his vision to use them and work through them and protect them. But they needed to be rebuked a little bit. They needed to be spurred on, and sometimes we need that as well. Amen? You know, sometimes our faith, we get stubborn. We get stuck. Our faith is lacking. And we need to hear Jesus giving us that sharp correction of, come on, you can do this. Let's move forward. Right, kind of like Mark sharing with us this morning a little bit about showing up to church on time. We can do this, right? But we need to be prodded sometimes in our faith, right? They had seen and heard too much to still be this stubborn. He had appeared to multiple people that went back already and told them, and they still didn't believe, right? And so they shouldn't have been this stuck. But how about us? You know, I think about how many messages we've heard. We've had so many great lessons over these past 8 months or so as a region, right? How many messages do we have to hear from God's word before we accept it, right? Maybe we're talking about trusting God, right? How many times do you need to hear from the Bible that you can trust God before you'll decide to finally just trust him with something, right? Just trust him with it, right? Maybe it's with devotion to the body. Being there on Wednesday nights or Friday nights or being here Sunday or whatever it is. How many sermons do we need to hear making it clear that this is important before we decide to put it first? How many messages do you need to be rebuked for that? You know, maybe it's with sharing your faith often and being on the mission, right? How many times do we have to preach from the Bible on go share your faith, go preach the word, go invite other people before you do it someday? Before you try to bring somebody, right? We preach on this a lot because the Bible brings it up a lot. And the Bible brings it up a lot because God loves people so much. This matters to him so much. Right? Maybe it's with giving contribution. Right? We had Bobby come do 3 incredible lessons, right? On the heart, the soul, the mind, the strength, helping you out with your budget and how to think about finances, trying to equip you and trying to help make it clear that investing in the world is nothing compared to investing in God, right? We covered it from multiple angles, but are you still not giving every week? Have you still not set up your weekly contribution, right? I don't know. I don't check. I couldn't if I wanted to. It's protected, and that's probably good, right? But you know, right? Is God giving to you, and you're still not giving back? How many messages do you need to hear? Or how many times does it need to be up here on the screen before you go ahead and set it up? Right? We don't want to need to be rebuked for these things, but sometimes we need to. Right? Maybe it's being spiritual or righteous in some area. Maybe it's agreeing with a biblical stance on something that you've been stubborn about. Right? And for some in here, maybe it's making the decision to become a disciple and get baptized. Right? How many times do you need to hear that you need to be saved or that Jesus died on the cross for you before you finally decide that, yes, I do need to give my life over to God. Yes, I need to surrender. Yes, I do need to repent and be baptized. Maybe that's the decision you finally need to make. You know, something for me that I've always wanted to be strong in is being quick to repent. You know, and I've not always been there, but that's something I'm always challenging myself to is, Rob, if you notice something in your life that's not pleasing God, if somebody else points something out to you in your life that's not pleasing to God, be quick to repent. Don't be stuck. Don't be stubborn, because I am sometimes. But I'm calling myself to, no, Jesus deserves better. I should want to grow. And really having that be quick to repent conviction. You know, a few months ago, Chelsea and I were in our discipling time with Sam and Cynthia Powell, and we're so grateful for them, and we learn so much from them. And one of the things they're always helping us with is putting our family first, right? And so we were getting advice from them about, Tyler, and I was having some challenges with Tyler and figuring out how to correctly help him with some areas where he wasn't doing great, and he wasn't obeying, and he was seeming to have a lot of anger and not listening well. And I had tried multiple things and different approaches, and I just felt stuck. And we were talking with the pals about it, and they gave us great advice. But one of the things Cynthia challenged me on is she was like, you know, Rob, I've watched you go wholeheartedly after learning how to be a better leader and how to be a better minister. I know you've read so many books, been to so many classes, and I want to challenge you to do that with being a dad. You know, and so I really took that challenge. I said, you know what? You're right. This is so important, this role I have to raise these kids. I don't want to wing it. I don't want to, you know, like, I got to figure this out. And so I ordered like 8 books. I did some research and I was like, okay, I want spiritual books that are well-rated that about being a dad to boys. And so I did some research. I asked different people and I finished 2 of those books already in this last month and a half. And I feel like I've learned so much, but I feel like it's helping me a lot. But that's the conviction is, hey, if there's some area where I'm not pleasing God, let me be quick to repent. And that's what Jesus was quickly trying. And look, he doesn't spend forever on it. He's like, knock it off, guys. And then he's like, go into all the world. We shouldn't take forever to change, right? We should just wake up, snap out of it, see Jesus and go, oh, okay, you're right, Jesus. Now I'm going to follow you. I'm going to get it together here. I'm going to have faith in you. You know, we'll always have room to grow. We'll always need inspiration, and we'll always need to hear lessons on everything. We're never going to, oh, we don't need lessons on that anymore. I don't need to grow in that anymore, right? But ultimately, we don't want to be stuck or stubborn. And so I call you to reflect on that today yourself. Are you stuck and stubborn, or are you going and growing? Right? Spiritually, are you going and growing? You know, is there a faith issue maybe you need to deal with? Maybe it's these questions of, well, can God really use me? Can I grow? Are people really open out there? You know, do I even have time for this? Or it's those but I's, excuses, but I this, but I that, right? Or the what ifs. Well, what if this happens? Or what if I can't? Or what if I don't? Right? Those are the things where Jesus just says, stop doubting and believe. And to be Jesus's body and take his church, we need to live by faith. Amen? You know, when disciples take the torch and run with it faithfully, it's inspiring, right? And we notice it when we see people growing and really going after it. Don't you notice that? Yes. You go, wow, this person is really growing. The Spirit starts to work. And I could definitely mention multiple people in this room that I really feel like I've been seeing grow recently and stepping up. And just a few of those people. One is definitely Gigi. I've just been so proud of Gigi. This girl, she's got a tough major. She's got a lot of stress she's dealing with school. But one of the things that inspired me the most was when we put it out there to this ministry, hey, let's pray every day at 9:38 because of Matthew 9:38 for God to send workers into the harvest. Gigi not only started praying every day for that, but that inspired her to share with somebody every day at her school that week. And now people in her class, people around her at school, they know about her faith. And they follow her on Instagram, and they're asking her about the retreat. They're asking her about church events. And now Gigi is shining brighter than ever as a light in her college community. You know, you give it up for it. The other people I wanted to shout out is our Staten Island brothers. Our Staten Island crew, Ricky and Buka and Anthony. You know, we've been sharing about this stuff, and nobody's told them, hey, we need you guys to start a Bible talk at Staten Island, or we need you guys to do this or whatever. They're just going for it themselves. Ricky and Buka have gotten out on campus in Staten Island at CSI. And a few weeks ago, they met somebody that they started studying the Bible with together. And along with that, these past 2 weeks, Buka and Anthony have been coming all the way up to Manhattan early on Fridays to get on campus, to share at NYU, to join Bible talk. They got to join a study this past Friday. And Anthony had a friend from class with him, he shared with, out at Devo with him this past Friday night. And I'm just inspired by these guys going for it. Amen. Seeing opportunities, making opportunities, and letting God use them. It's inspiring when people take the torch and run with it. And there's other great examples in here too. You know, but the truth is, just like they heard the message from people multiple times, but needed to finally just believe it. The truth is, we've had many great messages from Jesus's ministry handed out to us. Right, these past 8 months, think of all the lessons we've had from the book of Mark, right? In Mark, we followed Jesus from the start to finish of his ministry. Now we need to take hold of it faithfully. Just like the disciples, we follow Jesus. And as he handed it to them, he's handing it to us. Right. There's so much that we heard and that we learned from the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus called us to follow him, to become fishers of men, and to break God's kingdom into this world. Let's take that torch. Amen? Amen. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus spent time with the sick and the poor. But he also reached out to the wealthy and called them to follow him also. He left no one unloved. Let's take that torch. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus called his disciples to be unified, to never be divided, to be a spiritual family, to work as a team. Let's take that torch as well. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus taught his disciples to be good soil, who grow, who bear fruit and are rooted even through the storms. Let's take up that torch. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus fought for the physical and spiritual battle. He completely changed two men and women's lives. He saw their hurt, he saw their needs, and he stepped in and made a difference. Let's take that torch in our lives as well. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus called Peter to courageously step out of the comfort zone of his boat and to walk with him on water. Let's take up that torch. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus called people out of tradition, man-made and heartless religion, and into truth, passion, and worship from the heart and based on God's word. Let's take that torch. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus feeds the hungry, heals the blind, and calls all of us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him, living a life of service and surrender to God. Let's take that torch. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus shows the miraculous ability of a powerful and consistent prayer life. He also shows the danger of not dealing with our sin and the danger of causing others to sin. Let's take that torch. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus teaches that spiritual wealth is better to live for than worldly riches and that the greatest among us is the one who serves. Let's take up that torch. In Mark chapter 11, we see Jesus properly worshiped and praised as Lord and Savior that he is. Let's take that torch. In chapter 12, Jesus taught above all to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we saw this lived out in the poor widow who gave everything she had to God. Let's take that torch. In chapter 13, Jesus focused on preparing people spiritually to persevere for the day he comes back. Let's take that torch. In chapter 14, Jesus surrenders his life and his desires to God's will. Let's take that torch. And in chapter 15, Jesus sacrifices everything and gives his life for the glory of God and the salvation of as many as possible. Let's take that torch. And in chapter 16, Jesus conquers death, ascends to heaven, and works with his disciples to continue changing the world. And now we're called to take that torch as well. We follow Jesus through the book of Mark, and now he's handing his ministry to us. And I love some of these other passages in Mark chapter 16, and I think it's huge for us to realize that the last words somebody says are so important. Right? We know to hold on to the last words. And in Mark chapter 16, one of the last things he tells them, the last things he tells us, is go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That must have been huge on Jesus' heart. This is what he died for, was for people to hear about it, for people to be saved. And we got to realize, wow, we have this amazing message of God's love and grace. Right? This message that Jesus died for. And to realize that God created every person, right? It says, go preach the gospel to all creation. Well, who created those people, Right? God did. These are his sons and daughters. And God created every person to know and to be with him. And so how can we not pass that on? Especially when Jesus is asking us to, right? And so the call for us is to go everywhere. Yeah. Right? He says, go into all the world. Go. This is active, not passive, right? We can't buy into this religious Christian world idea that I'll just live a good life and people will notice it and ask me about it. Yes, do that. But don't wait for people to ask. Jesus says, go preach. Go initiate. Go talk to people. We need to go. The mission is not passive. It is active. And he says, go everywhere. And that reminds me of our slogan, the city is our campus. Right? That we got this whole city to reach for God. And whether we're on the sidewalk or the subway or, you know, talking to our neighbor, the city is our campus. This is where Jesus has sent us. And he sent us to do what? To preach the gospel, to talk to people, to tell people about Jesus, about God, to invite people to come hear about that, to ask people to study the Bible or to come to something with you. We got to initiate and try to bring people into the gospel, into God's word. And lastly, we've got to do this to everyone. We're not allowed. We should never discriminate. Who should I share with? Who should I not? Who's open? Who's not? This isn't just for people with a religious background. This is for everybody. Right? This isn't just for people that look easy to talk to, but people that are hard. It's not just for the poor or just for the rich. It's not just for people that look like us. It's for everybody. Go preach the gospel to all creation. And what inspires me is that those who went before us really went for it. Right? In the first century, they really went for it with preaching the gospel. But it wasn't just the first century, it was this past century as well. Right? We're in the 2000s, but in the 1900s, incredible things happened advancing God's kingdom. You know, our fellowship that we are part of, we have over 700 churches in over 145 different nations that were all started and grown in the last 40 years. Right? So this isn't just the first century. This was the past century, and it should be this century as well. Right? What will we do the next 40 years? Will we keep it going here in New York City? You know, I love where we get to build because we could reach the world and the next generation from right here. Mm-hmm. We have such an amazing place to build God's kingdom. And so Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And then next he said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. You know, I'm not going to go into this theologically a whole lot here, but, you know, part of why it says this is because you only get baptized biblically if you believe. So there'd be no point to tell people, you know, whoever believes and is baptized will be condemned or who doesn't, right? Because obviously, biblically, you only get baptized if you believe. It's kind of like saying whoever has a car with a tank full of gas can get there, but whoever doesn't have a car won't get there. Right? There's no point even mentioning the gas if you don't even have a car. Right. But what I love about this passage is that it really is an exciting vision that we get to be part of. That as we go out and preach the gospel to all people, that we will find people who will believe and be baptized. Yeah. And that's such a special and exciting thing that God is allowing us to get to be part of, isn't it? Yeah. Right? As we go and tell people the gospel, we will find people who will respond, who will be saved. Don't you want to be part of that? Yep. No, don't you want to be used in that way? To get to show up sometime in the next few months or in this next year and to be ready to share about somebody who you've become close friends with, who you taught about Jesus, who you watched front row, their life change. God work in their life, and now you know you're going to get to share about them and get to help baptize them so they can receive the Holy Spirit, forgiveness of sins, and join you in walking on heaven's road. You know, that's something God wants all of us to be part of. And if it's not, then that's something that's lacking in our Christian experience and something that should be bringing us a lot of blessing and a lot of joy in our life is getting to be part of that. You know, last weekend was definitely one of the most joyful days of my life. I did not know when I wrote this that he was going to be here, but my brother John was baptized into Christ last Saturday. And so this was, I mean, I had just, Oh, it's up here. I didn't realize he fixed this. Thank you, Mark. Look at this. Come on. There's so many emotional pictures that'll get me. But, you know, I'm so proud of John. You know, he started spending the night at our house once a week about 8 months ago or so. And I just got to watch God work through that time as we started having deeper, more personal conversations, which led to Bible studies, which led to watching him really to wrestle with his faith, wrestle with God, wrestle with fully committing himself to God, which was so exciting to watch him do. Wrestling with the Bible's teaching on how someone is saved, what it means to be a Christian. And so proud of him, watching him surrender to what God's word says about that. Right? And so, you know, he dug into God's word and he fought for his faith. And now he is filled with the Spirit and he has took the torch of fulfilling Jesus's ministry. And I'm so inspired watching him take that torch. It's what Jesus intended, that we would be saved and then turn around and reach out to others. Right? Just already, John's been a Christian for a week and a day. And John is helping to study the Bible with a friend of his. He's invited multiple classmates out, and one of them is coming to Bible Talk this week. He went sharing multiple times this week and got four different people's phone numbers who are interested in studying the Bible. He was in three Bible studies with Matt this week. And along with that, he's driving over an hour to get to everything, sleeping two nights a week at other people's houses so that he could be fully involved with the body, join these Bible studies, get on campus. Right? Here's what's going to happen is John is going to grow, and he's going to see somebody he's gotten to be involved with become a disciple soon. And it's not because he's an expert, because he's not. He's a noob, right? A lot of us are noobs, right? But it's not because if any of us are an expert, but it's because he's got faith, and he's on fire for God, and he's being led by the Spirit to let God work through him. And that's all it takes for any of us. And so let's go and do the same, taking the torch that Jesus gave us. Amen?
Amen.
In Mark chapter 16, to close out here, in Mark chapter 16 is an under-mentioned major event of Jesus' life. And that's the ascension, right? And Jesus ascended back to heaven. In verse 19, it says, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. And so right there in verse 19, we see Jesus. It says he was taken up into heaven. He ascended. Right? So he died, conquered death, and then did not die again. He rose to heaven in this miraculous way. And honestly, if you can imagine being there, this must have been amazing. Right? Just try to imagine you're there with Jesus. Right? You see, wow, you rose from the dead. And then he sends you out into the world, gives you this mission, and then he just slowly rises up into the clouds. And you're just like, what in the world? Right? I mean, you gotta go tell people about him now, right? Right? We gotta go tell people about him now. Right? But imagine being there. How affirming, right? To watch that happen, like, it is so affirming. No, what I believe is real. He is definitely Lord and Christ, yeah. You know? How affirming, and also how inspiring. How inspiring to know that Jesus was going to be sitting back on his throne without any of his human limitations, ready and willing to work through them, to give them his Spirit and to empower them. You know, the thing also is that him ascending also confirmed for the disciples that the next major event in Jesus's life was also definitely going to happen.
Right.
And that is Jesus's return. Mm-hmm. Watching him ascend confirmed for them, oh, he's going to be coming back. Because they knew after he ascends, we're now in the last days. This is the last period of time before the last event, which is the day of the Lord, the day that Jesus comes back. And so this confirmed for them, he is coming back. And that reality that Jesus could come back any day, that he was coming back soon, that drove the early church. And that should really drive us as well. You know, I was thinking about it, and obviously in the next week or two, a lot of you are heading into finals, right? So finals are coming up. No, that's probably not an exciting thing to be brought up. So in the next couple of weeks, finals are coming. And here's what's so interesting is when you ask people about finals, most students know a lot about their finals, right? It doesn't take being a great student. Most students know a lot. If you had a final on your finals, you'd probably do just fine, right? But a lot of you, you know which final is going to be hard. I could ask, which ones are you worried about? You know, not this one, but this one, right? You know which one will be hard. You know which won't. You know when they are. You know what to expect. You know what you need to study. And you know you definitely won't miss it and you won't show up unprepared, right? That's how we treat our finals. You know, I remember being a student, I think it was my freshman year of college, and I was on my way driving down one of the highways in New Jersey, Route 10. I was on my way driving down that highway on my way to a final. And so I was in my first car, which was a Toyota Tercel. This was a small car. It was awesome. I got it for $400, so it was only so reliable. And I'm driving down Route 10, going probably about 45, 50 miles an hour. And, you know, way up ahead, I see the stoplight turn red and the car is starting to stop ahead of me. And so I go ahead and go to brake. And to my absolute panic, my brake line snapped and my brake went right to the floor. And so I just went, yeah, it was like that. So I hit the brake, it broke through, like I felt it break, and I just was hitting the brake and it was doing nothing. And so now I'm going down the highway, 45, 50 miles an hour, heading into a stoplight. And so I'm kind of, you know, in one of those weird, surreal moments where you're just trying to figure out what to do, you know? And so I'm going down, I'm like, well, I don't want to slam into people. And so I thought about the emergency brake, which I know you can't, like, totally rely on that. But I was like, maybe I can use this a little bit. So I got into the shoulder, and I just slowly started, like, little, like, and that got me down to probably about like 20, 25 miles an hour. And then there was this big empty parking lot. And I just kind of like wheeled in that parking lot quick, ripped the emergency brake, and kind of came to a stop. I was sitting there like, oh, thank God, I'm okay. But then it occurred to me like, I have a final. And so this probably was not the smartest thing, but I put the emergency brake off, put it in first gear, and slowly drove the rest of the way to my college. I put my hazards on. I stayed in the shoulder and I was like, I'm just going to go slow and I'll stay under 20. And when I need to stop, I'll just kind of use this emergency brake. And so I got to my school. It was probably another 3 miles or so I had to drive down Route 10, parked, went in, took my final. And then even dumber, probably, I drove it the whole like 25 miles back home. And so I stayed in the shoulder. I kept my hazards on. This was not smart, obviously, but the point in it all was that there was some real pressure to not miss this final. Enough so that I put my life at risk in a way that I shouldn't have, right? I should not have done that. But that's how serious. You don't miss your finals. And I think, you know, we know how to prepare for a school final. We know how to make sure we show up for the school final. But how much more should we prepare for your soul's final? Right? Jesus is coming back. Are you preparing for that? Are you helping others get ready for that? Right? When it comes to living for Jesus' return, we should be all gas, no brakes. Amen? All gas, no brakes, if you could refer that back to my story. We don't want to stop. We don't want to turn around. We want to be prepared, making our way to our soul's spiritual final. And so for personal reflection on that, have you believed and been baptized to be saved? And if not, why not? Which final is more important to be ready for? The one you have for school in 2 weeks or the one for your soul that could happen tomorrow? Right? And my question is, why not be ready for both? The longest conversion in the New Testament was 3 days, and it was Paul. You know, you study every night for school to be ready for that final. You make sacrifices. And the truth is, you can do Bible studies every day, spend good time with God every day, and you could finish this school year right with God, ready to pass the ultimate final and ready for your school finals as well. But how much better to have that peace in your soul and ready to take up that torch for your life? And for the disciples here, are you living like Jesus is coming back? Are you putting God first? Are you dealing with sin in your life? And are you helping others get to heaven? If not, then it's time to do that. Jesus is saying, go. Right? He's spurring us on. Let's pray for this, and then let's go be workers in the harvest fields. Let's make friends on our campus. Let's engage with people. Let's share our faith. Let's find some people to bring to church. Bring somebody to the Bring Your Neighbor Day. Imagine if there's 80 people or more here next Sunday with us. And all the Bible studies that could turn into, and the souls saved that can turn into. Pray for and try to find somebody you could sit down and open the Bible with, or somebody that you could pull in, Mark or Hannah, or somebody with more experience that can help you to do that, right? We have a team that we can work together on. But the truth is, Jesus is ready to work with us to prepare as many as possible for his return. Mm-hmm. In Luke chapter 12, verse 23, Jesus says, "It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns." When Jesus comes back, let's have him finding us, serving him, and doing the work that he asks us to do. Amen? You know, we've spent 8 months in the book of Mark. We followed Jesus through his life, death, and resurrection. And in Mark 16, he passed the torch to his church. And so let's be his faithful disciples who take the torch and run with it. And then when Jesus returns, let's have him find us shining brightly. And so as Mark ends, let's begin. Amen? Amen.